Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Community In Depth, and I am thrilled to have on the phone with us today two members of Dakota County offices, and we have on the phone with us Melanie Countryman. She is an epidemiologist with Dakota County, and we also have Bonnie Brieshoff. She is the director of public health, and I'm very excited to chat with them. Of course, about all things going on, but what's top of mind right now, it certainly is COVID. So welcome to both of you ladies.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good to be here.
I would first like to start, Melanie, with you. Can you please tell me what an epidemiologist is?
Sure. So, I mean, very formally, epidemiology is a study of the distribution and patterns of health and disease conditions in a population. Kind of on a practical basis, the key roles that are involved are collecting data in a logical fashion and then analyzing the data to identify what's happening in a population with a particular condition or a disease. And then a big piece of it is communication. So, you know, helping write explanations for the public on what does this data really mean.
And certainly you've been involved in other things, I'm sure, that have involved your expertise. But has this really been something new even for you, this whole COVID business?
Yeah, I mean, I think we've all been learning as we're going along with COVID, because it's a brand new disease, and we didn't know a lot about it in March when it first kind of came on the scene in Minnesota. And so it's just been a constant learning experience all throughout the last 9 months.
Well, I think that that getting the word out, education, of course, and just having people understand what goes on, and at a local level, you know, we hear national numbers, of course, on some of the national news, but it's really nice to be able to take it down and drill it down, not only to Dakota County, but also just to this area specifically. Bonnie, tell us about you, please. What are your duties as Director of Public Health?
Well, as Director, it's really the overall leadership of the department. And so I have the pleasure of really supporting the work of others and then helping us really focus on that mission and vision we have of protecting the health of the public, which ties in certainly to what we're dealing with right now, to make sure we're doing all we can within Dakota County to make everybody safe and keep them healthy. Leading within the department, but there's also a strong part of my role is in making sure that we're partnering within our region, within the state, and then on a national level as well, so that we're, again, optimizing everything we can do to really have a strong health department and to do innovative work, as well as making sure that we're crossing within the county itself, within other departments, to make sure we're aligning our work and joining and coordinating whenever we can, all coming back to making sure that Dakota County is healthy, a healthy place to live and work.
You know, Dakota County is a big county, isn't it? Is it, what, third largest in the state?
That's correct.
You can't just look at one area. I mean, you have very rural parts of Dakota County. You have very populated parts of Dakota County. Does that make your jobs harder?
I think there are challenges with that, but I would also say it makes it even that much more interesting, because we're one of the few counties that we're a nice size in the sense of a lot of the programs and services and things that we're able to do. We're not too big, but we're not too small. And we have that urban, suburban, rural makeup of the county. And then with that, we're really aware of the variations of needs and can have staff. We're focusing on community relationships and community partnerships. So we really look to have staff being engaged in communities so that we can support the needs of individual communities, and then kind of look at it also as a whole of Dakota County.
Is Dakota County similar to the surrounding counties as far as the rates of COVID?
Yeah, I would say we're pretty similar to, you know, the core counties of the metro area, Hennepin in Ramsey County. There's, you know, some differences among some of the other counties within the metro region. So Scott County actually has a little bit higher rate than we do right now, and also Washington County, but pretty similar.
Tell us a little bit about how the numbers that you bubble up, I guess, for lack of a better term. I know that Hastings Public Schools is going to a full-time district learning model mm-hmm. coming up in actually this week. And so mm-hmm. I'm just curious. I know that they relied a lot on your COVID numbers. What mm-hmm. what did they rely on? What are those numbers? What does that mean when they say that they're getting information from you and those numbers are trending in a certain way?
Yeah, so there's a 14-day case rate that gets calculated by the state on a weekly basis, and they do these case rates for each county in the state. And that number is applied to a framework that was developed by the Minnesota Health Department to kind of identify what learning model would be appropriate given the amount of spread of disease in the community. So they have some criteria for when you are able to be in in-person learning versus having to have some level of hybrid, and then when would you have to go to complete distance learning. And our case rate has been increasing pretty rapidly over the last few weeks, along with what's going on statewide. So we jumped in the last week from 33.5, which would leave us in a hybrid model with distance learning for secondary students only. We jumped up to 49.35 this past week, which is just on the cusp of when you would need to go to all distance learning. 50 is kind of the cutoff for that.
What are those based on, please?
It's 49.35 per 10,000. So it's a 14 days of case counts, and then they look at that across the population of the county and identify a rate per 10,000 people.
So is it number of people that have tested positive versus just having a test at all?
Yeah, this is number of positive cases, correct.
So I know probably the beginning of the summer that it was difficult to get COVID tests, or just a little bit harder than it is right now. And I am really pleased to hear about all the different ways that we can get some tests and the many testing options available. Can you please tell us about some of those?
Sure. I am really pleased, too, of everything that is available now at this point in time, as you said, compared to in the spring. So we were really fortunate to be part of a mail home saliva testing program. There were 23 counties in the state that were part of a pilot. So that started several weeks ago. And right away, I think with the success of that, the state has expanded so it's available throughout all of Minnesota. But in Dakota County, basically, anybody that lives in Dakota County can go on a website, on the Minnesota Department of Health website. We also have all this linked on our Dakota County webpage as well, that we can highlight as far as how people get there. But you can request a kit, and it's a saliva test, so it's mailed to your home. And you log in and through Zoom have some health professional that kind of coaches you through the whole process. And it really is very user-friendly, and it makes it easier access because you don't have to leave your home. And it's all done, like we say, through the mail. The other testing that we're really pleased to have that has started this week, our two different sites have, again, saliva testing that they're providing that is open and free for anyone. They encourage appointments, so that's something to be aware of. The Armory, National Guard Armory at Invergrove Heights is one site, and there's a lot of times available. Usually it's from noon to 6, multiple days of the week. And then there's also the former Pier 1 store that's in near the Burnsville Mall in Burnsville is also another saliva testing site that, again, is open several days of the week as well as on the weekends. And we continue to have a strong partnership for testing with the Dakota Child and Family Clinic that's located in Burnsville. So that we're continuing, and that's actually the nasal swab testing that's done. So there's actually like a Q-tip that is put up in your nasal area, and then that's how that specimen is gathered versus the saliva testing, obviously, is you spitting in a tube. So both of those methods as far as testing are available, and the Dakota Child and Family Clinic is located in Burnsville, but we also have had them, and we will plan to continue that now starting in December again to have a Saturday where they're located up at our Northern Service Center in West St. Paul.
And what are the prices on some of these things, please?
All the testing that we're talking about is free. It is important for individuals to know, though, they will gather your insurance information. And so if your insurance covers it, they would be billed. But the important thing to know is that if you don't have insurance or you have a big copay or your insurance doesn't cover this type of test, then you would not get a bill. And it's basically the county or the state, with some of the funding that we've gotten for dealing with COVID-19, that would be covering the cost.
That is good to know. Thank you for that. Are either of these tests better than the other?
The good news on this is that, no, they're both very similar in the sense of what they're looking for and their sensitivity rates. So it's not that you need to pick either or. Really, the important thing to know is, are you more leery on having a Q-tip put up in your nasal area, or are you concerned that you'll have problems spitting enough to get enough for the saliva testing? But I think, you know, both are very good, and the results they get you, you can be confident in that you're getting information as far as whether your test is positive or negative and that it's accurate.
And how quick do you think you are able to see these results?
What we've found is that the window time is around 24 to 72 hours, and that's been something that has been really important to try to get tests processed as quickly as possible. You know, it can be depending on if you go to your own individual clinic and depending on the lab they use. We've known sometimes the test results can take a little bit longer, but the goal is to have that turnaround be in that, you know, 1 to 3 day time range.
So what do you suggest? Should people go get a test if they feel like they've been exposed, or do you have to show symptoms? Because I think that's ever-changing.
Yes, that's where there's been some confusion. And the important thing to know is that a lot of people that have COVID-19 do not have symptoms. So as far as the testing, the reason you'd want to get tested would first and foremost, of course, definitely be if you have symptoms. And then if you've been around someone where they've told you that they've tested positive, or there have been some gatherings as well that we know that there's been some COVID-19 spread. And so if you've heard that you've been at an event, as there had been in the past, which I think there's less of that going on now, but that's also another time to make sure that you would go in and get tested.
You know, let's talk about the term pandemic fatigue or COVID fatigue. What does that mean to each of you, and why is that important to address?
I think the thing about pandemic fatigue is that this has been going on for now, you know, 9 months, 10 months, and people are just tired of being in lockdown or not having, you know, the freedom to do all of the things that they're accustomed to doing. And, you know, that's a pretty natural human reaction, not unusual for that to happen. The problem is it gets people to let their guard down and, you know, maybe not follow the safety precautions that have been advised by health officials and puts them at risk of getting infected as a result.
And so I know on your website or someplace I did see this Swiss cheese model. Explain what that means, please.
Well, what we're trying to convey with that message is that it really takes many steps for you to protect yourself, so it's not a one thing, but they also build on each other. So for instance, with the recommendations on what has been from the very beginning with this virus, you should definitely stay home if you're sick, but then make sure you're washing your hands, wearing a mask, then also have that distance that's recommended, the physical distance. And those things all together really give that protection instead of having, you know, the Swiss cheese with the holes, kind of how they line up. I mean, as soon as you put it together, you all of a sudden you don't have holes anymore. You have some solid protection. And that's really what is needed during this time until we get the vaccination.
I know we're headed into the holiday season. What are each of your individual plans, please?
Well, yeah, for Thanksgiving, I'm not going to have anything outside of my own family that I already live with. That's pretty much the plan for that. Christmas is kind of up in the air at this point. I don't know what's going to happen in the next month.
And I would have to say the same. We're taking it kind of one holiday at a time. But for Thanksgiving, it won't be the big gathering with, you know, I have family where we've always gotten together with one of my sisters, and there'll be 20, 30 people. We are just having immediate family, so just those that are in the household. Just, it's the 1 year. It's going to be different for the holidays. You know, last year we had our big gathering. This year it's going to be small. And then next year will be different again. So it's kind of that COVID, you know, holiday blip that we talk about, but so important because just where we're at, that we need to be careful and protect our family and protect ourselves.
You know, I know there's a dashboard on your website. Can you tell people how to access that? And then also, the numbers have been creeping up, and why do you think that is?
Yeah, so our dashboard is actually pretty easy to get to. If you go to our website, www.co.dakota.mn.us, at the very top of the screen, there's a banner that says something about COVID services. And if you click on that, it opens up our COVID page, which gets you to our dashboard, gets you to a bunch of other resources. Some of the testing information that Bonnie shared is also on that page as well. So it's a really great kind of one-stop shop for information about COVID. And as far as our case counts and the increases that we're seeing, it's very much in line with what's happening in the state and in the region, Midwest region overall. You know, our neighboring states of Wisconsin, Iowa, and the Dakotas all experiencing very rapid increases in cases over the last 3 or 4 weeks. So that has had an impact, of obviously, on our state as well. And we have seen that the governor has done some things to, you know, try to mitigate it, focusing on the population, the younger adult population, because they tend to be more in the asymptomatic kinds of situations where they may be transmitting it but don't know that they have it. And so trying to kind of keep people from getting into too big of groups and gathering at bars and things like that has been very much a part of the spread in the state.
So we just can't let our guard down, can we?
No.
Well, ladies, I really appreciate your time today. What wonderful information. Our guest, Melanie Countryman, she is an epidemiologist with Dakota County, and also Bonnie Brieshoff, she is the Director of Public Health for Dakota County, and I hope that our listeners learned as much as I did today. Thank you so much. We really, really appreciate it. And you are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings.